Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth is Out There radio show. Today is a great day. Unfortunately, we actually interfering or splitting some people off from the rally that's going on right now in Nebraska with Trump. So a lot of people are going to be listening to this thing on archives. But that's okay. Today we continue our efforts with our school boards, and we're going to have a great candidate who's running for school board in a second. Let me introduce you to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I am good, Joe. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, we have a great candidate right now running for school board in Columbia County, Florida. His name is Hunter Peeler. How are you doing, Hunter?
I'm good, Joe. And Scarlett, how are y'all?
We're doing great. Now, Hunter, can you tell us where is Columbia County, Florida?
Columbia County, Florida is the most center north area of Florida that you're going to get. We're right above Gainesville, and we're basically the center west of Jacksonville and center east of Tallahassee. And I-10 and I-75 cross right in the middle. So if you're coming to Florida, more than likely you're coming right through Lake City.
Wow. And how is the situation in Columbia? How is the school's education in Columbia?
You know, we have the ups and downs just like any other county would. You know, we've had good programs and we've had bad programs. And the way I look at it is it's just, the reason I'm running is because we definitely need a strong conservative fighter to stand up against woke nonsense that are trying to creep their ways into the school systems. We need a strong conservative fighter that stands up and supports our teachers, listens to our teachers. We need a strong conservative fighter that will fight for every student out there and to make sure that this nonsense that's going around stays away from our students in our education system.
By nonsense, describe to our listeners what you call nonsense, and let's get a little deep into that.
Well, you know, you have the nonsense as in the way of, like, the critical race theory. That's nonsense. Or the when they and thankfully the governor and the legislator had this bill passed where talking about where these teachers and others want to put sex education in such a small age classroom. You know, I have siblings in the school system, and I have many cousins in the school system, and some of them are at the smaller age, and I have a five-year-old cousin that does not need to learn about sex education in kindergarten. And that type of nonsense needs to make sure that we stay keep out of it. And I know that the legislator and the governor signed a bill in that protecting our education system from that, but you still have people that will try to fight to get it in, and so we need people on the school board to fight to keep that mess out.
We do know that parents that are starting to stand up to the school board and actually go to these meetings, and the school board is trying to deny these parents access or deny them to speak. And when they do speak, they shut them down or they escort them out with their own school security or get them arrested. What's your stance on that?
Well, my stance on that is that's pure nonsense. At the end of the day, a school board member is elected by the people, so they work for the people. And so when the parents come up and they want to express their concerns, not one single school board member should sit there and tell them that they cannot do that or have them removed. Now, still need to have an orderly fashion in these school board meetings. So if you have a parent in there, of course, causing ruckus or doing, you know, crazy things that are not appropriate, yes, those ones like that need to be removed. But when a parent is standing up there voicing their opposition to something that the school board is doing, or voicing or trying to fight against something that they have implemented, then that right there should be allowed in all cases, no matter what side you're on, because we live in a country that we have free speech, and that considers free speech, especially when you're speaking to people that are elected by the people, not themselves.
See, the thing is that these kids are being indoctrinated and recruited by
brainwashed
by these by the Democrats, by the socialists, by the left mostly, and this is what's dying and what's being exposed right now in the local levels, the local schools and public schools and the elementary schools, the middle schools and the high schools. This has been going on for years, decades in colleges, and now it's trickled down. The CRTs and the indoctrinations and recruitments for the LGBTQ stuff and all that stuff. All that stuff is being put into it by people that learn from college and universities, and now they're bringing it down to these kids. How in the world can you stop it?
Well, and the way to stop that, like I said, is having conservative fighters on the school board standing up against it and making a stance against it before getting elected. That way those folks know that they can't fight against them. And another way to do that is the same thing I've said. If you care about your child's education, if you care about teachers being respected and all, make sure you do not put a Democrat on a school board. Because the Democrats, today's Democratic Party cares about nothing but themselves and control. And if you have them on school boards, they are going to control your students, your children, your grandchildren, whatever they may be, and they're going to control them into teaching them this nonsense that we don't need in this world and that we don't need to be teaching young kids.
You know what else a school board can do is make, because they implement the superintendent of the schools of that county, you can put in someone who has conservative constitutional views.
Well, the only issue that we have here about that is in our county, in Columbia County, our superintendent is actually elected by the people. the school board does not appoint the superintendent in Columbia County.
So let me ask you, because I don't know, is a conservative running for the seat?
Well, our superintendent is not up for another 2 years. Our superintendent seat is not up for another 2 years.
Okay.
So it's what, it's a four-year seat?
It is a four-year seat, just like the school board.
So the superintendent that is sitting in that position, what is their position?
He's a conservative Republican.
Okay. That's excellent.
Okay, that means he support what Governor DeSantis did and the parental rights laws.
Yes, he did. Yes, I believe. Yes.
What would you do as a school board member if you have a teacher that refuses to follow the rules and regulations, like and Governor DeSantis and the law? Would you fire it? Would you get the teacher fired or suspended or transferred or something? How would you handle that personally?
If we need to work as a team with a school board. If we had a teacher that are not following the rules and regulations implemented that teachers should be following, then of course what we need to do is we need to do a thorough investigation to find out what's going on, what are they doing, why are they doing this. And if they're not going to comply, then we need to take disciplinary action, whether it mean we suspend them or we terminate them.
Yeah, because right now here in Broward County, we had a number of teachers that refused to go along with what DeSantis has done and decided to continue with certain mandates or teaching kids CRT and stuff like that. And DeSantis is asking Ashley Moody to go in and handle the situation and see what they can do. Because these parental rights laws, they need to have some teeth behind it. And the parents are standing up now. And sometimes the damage is going to be done by the time we get into August or November. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
So, and there were some teachers that actually walked out.
Yeah, in a way, with that is the fact is the governor, I believe, is doing the correct thing in making sure that the attorney general is checking into this, because at the end of the day, if it is a law, if the law was passed and signed by the governor, then they have no choice but to follow this law. And if they're not following that law, then there needs to be some disciplinary action from the governor's office, from the attorney general's office, or the school board superintendent's office, wherever it must come from. There should be disciplinary action when they're not following the laws of the state.
Now, with that in mind, let's move on to a little bit different. How is the students, how is the education in Columbia? How is this kids relate to other kids in the community?
Well, you know, we have, of course, just most like any other county would, but we do have our goods and our bads when it comes to the student education. And it really, we come down to the student, because our county follows a lot of the Florida education principles and the Florida education policies that are implemented by the state. And then it's just our job to make sure these students are following correctly and having, the right head on their shoulder as well. But, you know, in Columbia County, we have a thing, and I know other counties do it as well, but we have a thing called cold reads in Columbia County for these elementary education students. And what they have to do is they have to read this book in a short amount of time and then answer these questions. It is a difficult matter, and it is a thing that I want to see gone, or at least not 60% of their grade, because you have these students in elementary school, they're excelling at everything, and then these cold reads are stumping them, but it's costing them 60% of their grade. And they're being treated unfairly about that. And I've spoken up against these cold reads before, and I'm completely against it. There's no point in a cold read either even existing or being 60% of their grade whatsoever. So something like that is one of the first things I want to tackle if elected, to get rid of.
Okay. One of the things about education with the little kids, with the elementary school kids, is reading, writing, and arithmetic, especially. And the last 2 years, these kids really had this advantage because it's very hard to teach kids how to speak, how to read, and how to write if they can't see your mouth with the mask and everything else. And the personal interaction is not there. So these kids for the last 2 years basically is not getting properly educated. How can you as a school board member reinvest in the kids to change things so they can catch up?
Well, thankfully we don't have any, we never had a mask mandate in Columbia County with our school system. Our school board actually did vote that down from a 3-2 vote when it even started to come up. But on top of that, the best way to do something like that is to make sure that we are throwing more money into these classrooms to give these teachers the tools that they need to help catch these students up. And we need to stop teaching to so much of a teaching to a test instead of teaching them what they need to know for life. When you teach these students to a test, that's not doing anything good for them. When you're teaching these elementary school age students how to read, how to write, how to add, subtract, whatever, we need to have the tools and we need to have the money flowing to these teachers to make sure that are flowing to the teacher classrooms and these schools to make sure that they have the money and the tools to be able to invest in this to keep these students afloat.
Okay, as a school board member, can you how much of an influence do you have in getting funds from Tallahassee to get to the schools?
Well, the one advantage that I have while I'm running is I have connections within the State House and the State Senate, which is wonderful, and I would love to reach out to those that I know in the legislature to work with them about, hey, what can we do to improve the education system and bring it back to Columbia County? What do we need to do to get pay raises for teachers? What do we need to do to get these money into these classrooms and all? And that's one thing that I've been telling voters is that the connections that I have built throughout the years within the legislature will help a lot by showing up as a school board member, fighting tooth and nail, saying, hey, this is what we need. Not just saying it one time and walking away, but to constantly fight until we get something done.
That's and you, as a school board member, what will be your primary, your main mission as your platform to win the election to be school board?
My main thing at the moment right now is bringing a fresh start to the school board, meaning we need fresh new blood that's going to be on the school board, that's going to stand up for every student, every teacher, every parent, and to make sure that we keep this nonsense out of there, to work to try to get this money flowing in the classrooms, to work to try to get raises for these teachers, to make sure that we have a budget that is allotting money to the betterment of each student, and to push hard every single day to have the best education possible for our students and the best workplace possible for our teachers and employees.
As a school board member, and you have these teachers come up to you in your district, how are you going to handle questions about CRT, critical race theory, for those that don't know what it is? How do you handle those questions?
Well, I have been asked this question. I've been asked this question about critical race theory and about how I stand on it. Of course, I'm against critical race theory. Critical race theory is a racist form of education. And, you know, and it blows my mind that people cannot see that. That is a part of that woke nonsense that's trying to brainwash our students in our education system. And when people have asked, you know, like, what is, well, sit down. I'll look up information and show them and explain to them how this is not history, that it's not anything that needs to be taught to our students, that it is a racist platform that they're trying to put, that these Democrats are trying to push on our students to control their lives.
How would you, okay, and again, the same thing with, why would any, I got this silly question, but it's got to be asked, why would anyone want to teach a five-year-old, a kindergarten kid, or anyone from K through 3, or even K to 12, sexual orientation or anything to do with sex, especially five-year-olds, six-year-olds, seven-year-olds, when they don't even think about that at that age?
The way that I look at that, if anyone's wanting to teach these young students about sexual education, especially like you mentioned about these five-year-olds or K through three or whatever, anyone that's wanting to teach them about that is just a sick human being and doesn't need to be anywhere near the education system or a school board or as a teacher or anything like that. Someone like that needs to be completely gone from our education system and not involved whatsoever.
I think you should arrest these teachers that bring that in as child abuse and assault.
Well,
because
it is wrong. It is wrong to teach these students that. And the way I look at it is it's not the education system's responsibility to teach kids about that stuff. Those kids should be. That is something that is a personal matter that parents should talk to their kids about, not the education system. The education system should not be involved in that type of mess, telling these students about that type of life. That is a personal conversation for at home with parents or guardians.
Okay, what about changing them from a boy to a girl and a girl to a boy?
Now, I'm completely against that. I'm no fan of the students even learning about being a transgender male or female, and it's the same thing. I also think that these anyone that thinks it's okay for a child to try to sit there and say, well, I want a young boy saying I want to be a girl, or a young girl saying I want to be a boy, and they're okay with them going through that process at a young age, is just another sick human being and another sick individual that does not need to be anywhere near children or our
So let me ask you another question. Parents are doing it to their children.
And that is wrong. These parents that are acting like that should never be that way. Because that, right, to me, that is child abuse. If you're going to put a child at a young age through a sex change, a gender change, however you want to say it, that should be considered child abuse, no doubt about it.
These parents that try to do that, and teachers working together trying to do that, because some places they are doing that, this is a society that is becoming mentally incompetent in nature, and it's hurting the children. They should be teachers and they shouldn't be parents.
You broke up just a little bit.
Okay, well, I started to say is that these kids, these parents and these kids and teachers working together to change someone's sex from male to female or female to male at little kids' age, like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds, even teenagers, that's a crime. And they shouldn't even be teaching or having kids in the first place, because that's criminal.
Does the school board have any play with sports and in the education system?
Yes.
Okay, so what is your take on men who became these women who are still men and they're on girls' sports?
Well, that's another thing that if I was elected to the school board, I'd be fighting. We shouldn't have boys playing on girls' teams and girls playing on boys' teams, because there's a reason, and I'm a firm believer of this. You know, God created man and created woman, and you are born how God wants you to be born, and you should not be able to change that. So at the end of the day, that we should never have, especially at a young age. We should never have girls playing on the same team as a boy or boys playing on the same team as a girl in any type of sports, whether it's football, baseball, softball, soccer, any of it.
Because we know people that do a lot of sports. I know someone that does marathons and running each week, and she just did the Boston Marathon last week and all that stuff. But and she's proud of who she is and everything else. And she, when it comes to first, you know, her age group, well, she comes first and overall female. And she is a female. And some guy, I would be very pissed off if some guy comes in dressed as a woman and beats her. That would not work for me. So,
exactly.
And that's not fair either. And, you know, it should be... These transgender type things should be outlawed everywhere. Going from going from women's men going in women's sports, it should never happen.
Take on mental health and what went on at Stoneman Douglas and shooting and all that stuff? What would you do to protect our children?
Mental health, of course, is a real thing. We see that every day. We should be throwing money towards mental health funding within our school systems to make sure that we have the proper necessities to have these people trained in mental health, how to handle this, and to have these have employees to where students come to feel comfortable to talk to if they're having issues or if they're scared about someone else or anything of that nature. We need to be investing more money into this type of research and type of mental health funding to keep our students safe.
How about ESC programs for special needs kids?
ESC programs, at the end of the day, I tell people this all the time. I've always had a special place in my heart for ESC programs, even when I was in high school or even younger than that. It's always been a special place in my heart about this is they're humans as well. You know, ESC students are not just because they are, you know, in ESC classes, that does not mean that they are not human. That does not mean they should be disrespected, and that does not mean they should be thrown to the side. They should have just as much funding as any other student in our school systems. And to make sure that
lot,
we have the proper necessity to help them.
A lot of those ESC kids, they're in the spectrum of autism, among other things, and they are...
Or Down syndrome, or other different of special needs.
And they get bullied, and
some of them are weak-minded, and that is where they get them, okay? And that's how they indoctrinate them. Because, you know, they say, oh, let's be friends. I'll be your friend. And then they get them or they bully them.
Yes.
It's a sad situation.
And then they try to fit in and they end up with drugs and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So,
I'll
tell you, we need to focus on that. A lot of these special needs kids, they see things differently than others. We see it two-dimensional. They see it three-dimensional. They're more sensory. They're more focused on one thing than what we focus on many things. And they do a lot of different things better than other people. And that's their specialty. And they're beautiful kids. And they should never be picked on.
Exactly. Well, it's a sick human being that's going to pick on an ESV kid. I mean, if you're going to pick on someone because they were born with something they cannot help, then that is just a sick human being. And if another student is doing that, then they need to have some disciplinary action. And also, parents need to be involved to find out to make sure that's not coming from home itself.
One of my pet projects was to expose the a thing called the Promise Program. The idea for the Promise Program is what they cut the train ride from kids going to school to prison. And so what they did back in the days of Obama and Duncan and Runcie and a bunch of others, they threw up a program called the Promise Program, which cut would actually take felonies and reduce it to misdemeanors and keep these troubled kids in house situation to try and solve the problems and cut the crime rates out of the schools. And at that time, that's what led to Nicholas Cruz being allowed to get a gun and kill 17 people here in Broward County. And some form of the Promise Program around the country led to other mass shootings because they purposely disguised or hid the situation of these individuals, the troublemakers, if you want to call it. And so we exposed it and hopefully got rid of most of the Promise Program, but it still has tentacles in the schools, and they still use some of it, still use that to hide these kids and not get the proper help. What you take, is there a Promise Program or something in that similar in your school district, or is it taken care of?
Well, that is mostly taken care of. Of course, you know, you have almost 10,000 kids in a school system. Of course, you're going to have some of those troubled youth, and we need to address them on, and I'm a firm believer, if we address them with disciplinary actions and teach them right from wrong, it'll help a lot more. Of course, a lot of this teaching right from wrong should be coming straight from home, but a lot of those troubled students don't have that at home.
They don't have that structure.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying they don't have that structure. They don't have parameters.
Don't.
The parents are just not in touch.
They
so
don't.
School
they
ends up being
right.
Mommy and daddy because of these parents. And that's not the school's job. They're there to educate you.
Yeah.
So.
And to get you to where you can go out in life. With your education, with your high school diploma, or whether you go further, but it breaks my heart to see these students that don't have a very structured home to know right from wrong. And I've seen students that were troubled students that get in programs, that get in different organizations that help them come out of that troubled youth, and then they go and shine and do great things.
You know how you get parents to be parents? If a child gets in trouble, the parent has to be held accountable with the child. And that is how parents become parents.
We had something similar that is that type of thing. We had a penal code back in the 80s in New York, which Thomas Manton and myself and others actually got legislated through. Where the parents are responsible for the access to their children to their 21, was 18 and they raised to 21. And certain things, the parents could end up paying a heavy fine or could go to jail for the actions of the kids. So that cut down crime for a while in New York by doing that. And also increased the education.
It also made parents do their job.
Yeah, but if... The thing is, the parents shouldn't be forced to do something. They should come naturally.
Yeah.
Now, in your school, do you have a drug problem, addiction problem in Columbia County?
We do not. Thankfully, we do not have that big of a drug or addiction problem here.
Because we've been getting a lot of stuff coming down thanks to the open borders with fentanyl laced with different type of drugs, including pot and marijuana.
Yeah, and I noticed a lot of counties have had those issues, but thankfully in Columbia we have not, which makes me feel very well about that particular problem in the school system.
Well, education is very, very important to all of us. And what makes you the best candidate for District 5 in Columbia County?
What I feel makes me the best candidate for Columbia County School Board District 5 is that I have seen the today's classrooms with my own eyes. I have been a student of the 21st century classrooms with my own eyes. I've seen it. I've dealt with it. I've seen the issues facing, And I feel that I am the best candidate because I am a conservative fighter. I say what I mean and mean what I say. I step up and I fight for what's right, and I'm willing to do that sitting on the school board to make sure that Columbia County can have one of the best education systems in the state of Florida.
That's great. And what is the best way for them to come and support you?
Best way that anyone can support me, of course, if you live in Columbia County in District 5, is to vote for me. But if you don't live in Columbia County or if you don't live in District 5, one best way is to spread the word. We're on social media, 150 for School Board, District 5 on Facebook. Check us out. Or you could also even send us contributions. We're accepting contributions. The limit is $1,000 per person or business. But we will take any contributions. We've taken so many cash contributions. You can't go over $50 in cash. But we our March report came out April 11th. Our March report, we raised almost $5,000, and percent of that were $50 cash donations from individuals. So that's the best, one of the best ways you can support us, because we have to buy signs. We have to make sure we have the resources to get out and talk to these voters, knocking on doors, buying door hangers, and the whole nine yards of where we can reach these voters, where we can make sure these voters see that we are running and that we are fighting hard for our students, teachers, and parents, and other employees.
Are you in a primary, or you're the only individual running?
No, we have. I have two other candidates against me.
All right, and how's it look so far?
The way it's looking right now, of course, I'm a firm believer. You don't count your chickens until the eggs hatch. So I.
There you go.
You won't really know until the votes come in. But we're getting good feedback every single day. I'm delivering yard signs to different individuals within District 5. We're getting them out. It's an honor to get the support that we're getting, and we're hearing great things. And we're raising money. We've probably raised probably about $13,000.
Do you have a website that anyone might go look at?
We don't have a website as of right
now.
Do you
have social media or Facebook or something?
We're on Facebook, Hunter Peeler for School Board District 5, and my personal sales number's on there, or email's on there. You can direct us anytime. I answer my phone day and night. It never phases me. If my phone rings and I'm asleep, it wakes me up, and I answer it then. I'm always willing to talk to anyone.
There you go. Scott and I are going to endorse you for school board in Columbia. School board in Columbia County School Board number 5. We're endorsing you. You got the radio show. We're going to give you a link to the show so you can use that as a method to raise funds.
You can post it on your Facebook page to the link to it and email it out to all your volunteers or ground game or anybody. And we'll post it up and put that out there for you, because we are dug in Floridians, and we do believe that our babies should be treated with respect and honored and not crapped on.
Indoctrinated, recruited, or anything like that.
Really. We're on our road to let everybody know in every district that these people are running and that you should vote for them because they're for your child. They're not to change your child, but they're there for them to keep them healthy in their mind and their body.
Well, I appreciate that. You're completely correct in that, but I do appreciate the time that you guys put in and to be on the show. I appreciate your endorsement, and I look forward to reaching other voters and other constituents in this county and our district to make sure that we can.
If you want to come back
race
on our show a week or two before the primary, we'd love to have you back.
That would be great. You let me know when, and I'll be happy to be there.
Okay. Your primary is August 23rd, right?
August 23rd.
Okay, again, you've got to win this. You've got to keep conservatism in the schools. The parents need to, we need school board
gotta
members.
You've got to wake up the
actually,
parents. You've got to show them
right.
What's going on. The truth,
exactly.
The truth is important.
One thing before I let you go, one of the best things that ever happened in schools in the last few years was the fact they had to go virtual because of COVID.
Yep.
And now every single parent now saw the indoctrination and recruitment by the kids, by the Democrats and the left firsthand.
Right.
And
that's how the governor in Virginia got elected, Youngkin.
Exactly.
Because of the students.
Exactly.
Because the garbage they were pulling.
Then
no.
The fact that a 14-year-old was killed, raped by guys dressed up as a woman in a woman's bathroom. And that's what started in Latin in Virginia. And so it's really that's what set things off. And it's not the first time. And all the school boards are changing, even in San Francisco, where the three most progressive school board members lost and got recalled. And the conservatives are now moving in that area. So
and in the Jersey election, the school board.
And the Jersey election. There's a lot of things across. The parents are waking up.
The parents are awake. I don't really believe it's whether they're Democrat or the Republican or whatever they are. They're a parent. And they don't want their children screwed on.
And with Biden saying... go ahead.
Oh, and that's what I said, like I said earlier. If you care about your student, if you care about the kids, you don't want Democrats on the school boards. You do not want these leftists on the school boards because that's where it's going to start. And it doesn't matter if you are a registered Democrat, I still put you in the same boat as today's Democrat Party because if you do not follow them, you shouldn't be a registered Democrat, in my opinion.
Shouldn't be a parent.
Yeah, but the thing is that Biden doubled down on it when he said that these are not your parents' kids in school. It's the teacher's kid and the government's kids, and their parents shouldn't have any say on what goes on in schools. That's what Biden said, and that was just a couple of days ago. So this is very important. This is the mindset of the left, the progressives, the Democrats. It's not your kids, even though you gave birth to them. It's not your kids. It's their kids, and that's how they believe. So vote accordingly.
And that's not the right way to go.
Anyway, I want to thank you for coming on. You have our endorsement. You're going to win. You're going to be a great school board member, and you're going to help the kids in Columbia County.
That's right. You will save lives.
Well, Joe Scarlett, I appreciate both of you for having me on, and I look forward to coming on before the primary, and thank you so much for your endorsement so we can get out here and win this.
You're quite welcome.
That's it. God bless you, and have a great evening.
God bless you. Enjoy
thank
your
you
night.
Y'all as well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye now. Okay, we only have about 15. We have – why did you cut out? Anyway, we have about 15 minutes left, and Dick Scarlett has to call back in. But anyway, there was a couple things going on that I want to just get over with right now. School board is very important. Education is very important. We need to educate our children and not allow them to be indoctrinated, recruited. And one of the best legislation that ever was done in the state of Florida is what Governor DeSantis actually did. Scarlett, you're back on?
Yeah, I don't want to know. You're funny. Look,
anyway,
there are people
anyway,
for them, or they're either for their freedom or they're for the control.
We had a call. We had a call from Indiana, which I didn't take because I wanted to continue with what we had.
Did they call back?
No, they didn't call back. He was the person was on for about a half hour, and I would have got him on.
He's great. Hunter is great.
Yeah,
he's gung-ho. So, he's with the program. He's got his heart and soul is into it. And he's got the ground game, and he's building bucks, and it ain't easy to build bucks at 30.
If he's getting all that $50 donations to one child, and 60% of donations,
the moms and dads
deals, that's
are
pretty
in
good. That
he
is
will
his
be
area.
Fantastic.
I know. Okay. Okay, Gainesville, he's north of Gainesville. Gainesville is a college, that's the Gators. That's a university area. Jacksonville went Republican in the special election. So
yes,
things are really turning, this is really turning,
turning
Republican.
Our county is the only crap. Okay? The people are waking up to the rhino crap. They're waking up to the Democrat crap.
Yeah, we need to actually do things right. By the way, Trump had somewhere between 30,000 to 40,000 people today, maybe more, because as far as I can see, and they're really scared shitless of this guy that's running for governor.
Huxford. Oh, that's right. They attacked everybody. Come on. Look. Pelosi and Schiff and another nutcase went to Ukraine to
where's Kamala Harris?
I don't know. Oh, she has COVID. She's at that house. Where does the VP stay?
I forgot, but it doesn't matter. By the way, our friend Danny, his mom is working for the school board. We got to sit down in Miami, I think in Miami. I'm not sure. Got to
have her come on. Is she a conservative?
Yeah.
Got to get her to come on. Oh, the school board. She's running for re-election?
No, she's not running. She's not running. She's working for us, so we have an inside. But anyway, the Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People podcast, the Truth Is Out There radio show, has endorsed officially for the governor's race in Nebraska, Charles W. Herbster. He is running.
Absolutely.
You know,
and how are the polls looking on with him?
Since Trump endorsed him about 6 months ago, he took off and he's in the lead, he's expected to win. And the Democrats and the rhinos are scared shitless of it, and they're trying to make up stories on him just like they did to everyone else.
Doesn't matter. The people don't listen to the rhinos anymore
because they don't want to hear their crap
because they're fake. They're fake Republicans. They're really Democrats,
right.
And that is what they are.
Also, today, they showed at the rally over in Nebraska, they showed excerpts from the movie Rigged, and David Bossy was actually our friend, David Bossy, was speaking.
Yeah, he spoke,
as
Mike Lindell did also.
Right, and so did Matt Slapp from CPAC.
Mercedes wasn't there?
I don't know. I didn't see you. But our team was there. Reese and Manette, Blackstreet Trump was there.
Right behind you, too.
Yeah, like always.
They can't get the people's vote anymore.
There were severe storms on Friday and tornadoes and everything else.
They attacked the messenger.
Yeah. There were severe storms and tornadoes and everything else in that area. Friday, they had to move it to Sunday. And a lot of people that drove or stayed there to see Trump on Friday
isn't there somebody running for Rob Portman? And so the rhinos are attacking him?
Yeah, that's the guy that's running over in Ohio.
You know what I say? Ignore them. They don't exist. They're unimportant. They're going to lose. The people are awake. The people are tired of the crap. They are. Just are.
What was your
Facebook page? Hunter Peeler for District 5?
Yeah, call me.
Thank you.
So, it's, So that's what that is.
Can we take a switch on? Let's talk about my Mets. Mets are winning big.
They just are. Okay. The Mets pitched for the second time two days ago, Friday's game. Friday night, it took five pitches, but the Mets pitched a no-hitter for the second time in their baseball history. And I think it's the first time in New York itself. And it was really cool to see them do something. So that really worked out pretty good.
And they're winning, and they're in first place.
Yeah, Yankees, by the way, are 16-6 in first place. And the Mets are, I think, 15-7 in first place. So both New York teams are in first place as of right now.
Are they going to have a Subway Series
this
year?
Mets, I don't know. It's way too early. And the Mets are winning in the top of the third, 2-1.
Okay.
Also,
are the Mets playing the Marlins?
No, not today. They play Philly. Marlins, by the way, are in second place now. Only two games behind the Mets. They're playing 600 ball, the Marlins.
Jeter left, everything else is working out better?
I don't know if it's that or it's just that the players are doing good. You know, the Marlins never really had a really bad team. But they have a very young team. And they're doing pretty good, for disclosure purposes.
Who's the guy from the Republic who had the garbage stuff? What was his name?
I don't know. But anyway, disclosure purposes, I have a couple people that work for the Marlins. The Queen, Emily, works there on certain times on the weekends when she's not running. And then we got her mom's working there, and Danny sometimes works there. So there's three of them.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
And Lone Depot Stadium, I call it Marlins Park.
Get to watch the game.
Yeah,
it's great.
Also, the Panthers, the Florida Panthers start Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday, their first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They are the top team. They're the number one team.
We got to watch.
But so the Rangers are also playing. The New York Rangers are playing in there. So you got that also in the playoffs. Yeah, my Islanders
did
make.
It seems like they just played, doesn't it?
And then guess what? This week, because of the football draft, the fantasy leagues are starting up for fantasy football. There's no games until September, but you start now.
Hey, I did great last season.
I've been because of my years of playing fantasy. They asked if I want to start a league. I said no, I don't have time. If I start a league, I'm responsible for 10 teams, and I don't want to do that.
We don't need 10 teams.
No,
we
I don't mean ten. I have one team, and then there's 10 teams. Then there's 9 other teams in the league, and I got to make sure all the trades are done right and everything else. I don't want to do that. I like playing fantasy. Let someone else run it
other
way.
It's much fun, and we do very well. Okay, and it's fun. That's what it's all about. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, one of the things that they got in Nebraska, which is all over the country, said the same thing. There's a lot of restaurants and places that are closing down or closed down over the years, not because the economy is bad, it's because they can't find people to work. Because all
why
the
why can't
gifts,
they find people to work? Between
the stimulus and every other benefit on the thing, the people just don't want to work. And then you got the scare tactics of the left with the boosters and everything. By the way, if you take a booster shot, it doesn't mean you're not going to get COVID. It doesn't mean you're not getting COVID. Most people I know that got the booster shot end up getting COVID anyway, somewhere down the line. It's going to happen. It's just like the flu and anything else. Every year you're going to get this stuff. All you do is get the shot. That's it. Some people get, some people
don't. The flu. Hold it. You got the flu shot, and what happened? You got the flu, right?
Yeah,
I don't get the flu shot, and I didn't have no flu. Okay.
I got the COVID the first two. I didn't take the boosters. I had too many people I knew that got very sick from the boosters, including a couple
neither
that passed away.
Neither one of us
away.
Got COVID. Nor Jordan.
Now the thing is that I'll be very careful on all these stuff so that you get it to your body, and people, especially people in the medical field, knows what happens when you interfere with the body's immune system. It may not actually take, and it may cause more damage than help. Now they're having people are getting very sick from the mask, the residuals of masks that are being
getting lung infections.
They found microscopic contamination from the mask that you breathe back in. That caused more harm than the COVID itself.
Yeah, I told you that.
And that's what's happening around. It's coming out. So all that's
because you're breathing in your own toxins, and you're wearing it, and it sucks into you. I told you that.
And that's why people have, but there are plenty for people looking for jobs. There are plenty of jobs out there. You just got to find them.
People just don't want to work, huh?
It's
well,
not
we have it
that,
down here, too.
Just,
I see people want to hire people to work in different places.
Yeah,
and
I see signs all over the place.
They can't seem
to
find anybody who wants to pick themselves up and do biz.
You know, and things
earn revenue, have your own life, create your own world.
How about if you don't want to work for somebody else, they got a great idea. Build your own business.
Start your own.
All right, entrepreneurship. That's a good
way.
So always
positive.
I'm
a rogue.
Sometimes if you want to get a job and you really want to get a career or want to do something, maybe if nothing works in one area, change direction. Do a 180. Change course. Change the environment. Change the microsite. Change the environment.
To do business and make money.
I know.
I know
there are plenty of places that are looking for people in the medical field. If you have an education in the medical field, no matter what it is, that they're looking for places. Private companies like Acumen. Acumen has offices all over Broward County. They're looking for a high-end x-ray taxi. You can make $15, $20 an hour easy or more. You could try that. There are places around this is Mental Health Awareness Month in May. There's a lot of places in the area that are looking for help and helping people with mental health issues. You go in that direction. There's a lot of different ways.
There's a lot of different areas. You can become working in a veterinarian's office and help with animals. Who's on
our
show on Wednesday or Sunday? Wednesday.
Okay. Wednesday we have Tim McCarthy. He's the supervisor for Board of District 2, and he's out in California. This is going to be really interesting.
Thousand Oaks.
Yes.
This is Scarlett Butler.
It's running for office on Sunday. And then we got Melissa March, who's running CD21 the following week. So we're booked up all the way through for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
So stay tuned.
Scarlett Butler telling everybody, have a great night.
God bless
America. Everybody, I'll be back on Wednesday. I'm excited.
I want to thank Hunter Peela, Scarlett, the gentleman from Indiana, which I didn't get to. I want to say, this is Joe Gomez saying, God bless everyone. God bless you all. And let's go, Brandon. Let's change this government right now before people are hurt.
Just my children and my wife. thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to